Log Talk Radio.
How you doing? My name is Eric Payne. I'm calling in to, we are starting a little bit late, the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Once again, it's 8 o'clock and on a Wednesday evening. We're live a little bit after 8 till a little bit after 9. Just about 60 minutes. My name is Eric Payne, also known as The Son, and you are?
I am Kay Thompson Payne, and I'm your mother. Listen, Eric, you know, we have somebody really very exciting, including Wayne Gilman, who we, you know, going to be calling in a minute. He's probably online right now. But anyway, William Katz, you know, Bill Katz, William Loren Katz, he is the author of Eyewitness, which is a living documentary of the African-American contribution to American history. A lot of people know all about Bill Katz. He is quite an author, and he has some exciting news for us today, tonight. I would suggest everyone take your pencils, get your pencils out, and take notes. If you have not and you do not know about Eyewitness, a living documentary of the African-American contribution to American history today, you don't know what you're missing because it has been in a lot of the colleges and it is the textbooks in several. And so we are going to find out if he is on the line right now. I know he was waiting, and so is Gilman, and so is Wayne Gilman. So we're going to be talking to him about so many things. Now, one thing he's going to be talking about is the Lincoln Brigade book. He was just telling me just a little while ago about, you know, about that being out on the market or coming out. We're going to be, you know, trying to find out what that is all about. But if you really want to know about the history, you know, of African Americans in this country and also coming from several places in Africa, this book is quite a book to have. And he has been the book. I will call him Professor Katz. I'm trying to find out something in the background. But anyway, so many things in the book, you know, about the African American, about our history, African Americans. And really interesting stuff, just for instance, he talks about black women of the Old West. He also talks about a history of multicultural America, 8 volumes of it. I don't know how and really have to have time to write all these books and all these different segments, but the book is a book that has been used in a lot of colleges, a lot of, you know, schools around the country and out of the country. And I'm struggling with it now because it is heavy and it is such a complete, you know, exploration and documentation of Africans in this country and also in Africa. The Westward Movement and abolitionism from the 1815s to 1850. So the Civil War and the Lost Frontier. I'm reading some of the titles of the books that he has out, and the chapters. There's the Great Migration from 1850 to 1912, the New Freedom to the New Deal, 1913 on up to 1939, World War II to the New Frontier of 1940s and the going up to 1963, the Great Society to the Reagan era, 1964 to 1990, let me see, and then Minorities Today, Black People Who Made the Old West, Breaking the Chains and African-American Slave Resistance, the Lincoln Brigade, a picture history of that in this book, the Black West, and we had talked to him about that before. Also, you know, he's having this his book on the Black Cowboys. Yeah. And,
hello.
You know, all that. This is, you know, hello, Bill Katz, how are you?
Professor okay, Katz. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Fine, thank you.
I didn't have your email, so I sent your son an email today. Nobody got back to me about what I wanted to discuss with you. So I, you know, I thought you might be interested in this scoop, though.
Yeah. I was just talking about it. Will you tell us what it is?
We're on air. Okay, we're on air.
We're on the air. Nice being back with you, Kay. We've done this for years and years.
Yeah. Okay. So what's going on? We're on the air.
Okay. Well, I wrote a book on the Lincoln Brigade, which I'll explain in a minute. These were a group of 2,800 Americans, black and white men and women, farmer, laborer, professor, student, that went to Spain in 1936, 80 years ago, to fight fascism, because Hitler and Mussolini were sponsoring the march of General Franco on the capital of Madrid to capture Spain and make it into a fascist state. And 40,000 people from 53 different countries went to Spain to try to stop them, just volunteers. Most of them hadn't fired a gun, and the Americans certainly were among the youngest and the least experienced militarily. But when they got there, they were thrown into the front lines and fought, and the American group is called the Lincoln Brigade. And let me just pause for a moment to tell you that this August, President Obama visited Spain. And in Spain,
yeah,
he was confronted by a man named Pablo Iglesias, who handed mm-hmm. him a copy of my book on the Lincoln Brigade. And he said to him that here was a book, and he wanted to thank President Obama on behalf of the Republican, the Democratic people of Spain, for the bravery of these Americans who came to Spain and to try to save it from a fascist takeover in 1936, 80 years ago. And he specifically told President Obama that at one point early on, the Lincoln Brigade was commanded by Oliver Law, a black Texan, and the brigade was completely integrated.
Bill, wait one second.
Sure.
Bill, just one second. We have Wayne Gilman on the phone, who is also a co-host here, and we want him to participate in this exciting information. Wayne Gilman,
sure.
Are you there?
Right. Yes, I am,
Wayne.
Kay. I had a little difficulty getting on, as you well know, but it's good to
be
here, and it's always a pleasure to hear from Dr. Katz. It's been a long time. How are you, sir?
Good to speak to you, Wayne. Very good to speak to you.
He's making an announcement.
Okay.
Okay, you're running for the presidency.
Not quite. I just quoted somebody talking to the president. What we're announcing tonight, and I'm giving you this scoop because it's not going to start until tomorrow, is that this book, The Lincoln Brigade, that was handed to President Obama this August in Spain by Pablo Iglesias of the Podemos political party, is, as of tomorrow, being put as an audio book that can be ordered by anybody. I think the price is just $5. And I even have the website where one can go and order it. And if I'd be happy to talk and say a lot more about the book, you know, in case people are interested, because it's an important part of history, which is why Pablo Iglesias gave a copy to President Obama and thanked him for the what the Americans did at that time. So what happened then was that Hitler and Mussolini threw their forces behind General Franco as he marched on Madrid. The Nazi Luftwaffe gave him air cover. The Gestapo arrived to interrogate prisoners. Mussolini sent 50,000 of his crack troops just back from conquering Ethiopia the year before. And the Americans and other people from all over the world came in to try to stop this taking over of a democratic Republican country.
Mm-hmm.
And they... Yes? By the way, among the women that came was a woman named Celeria Key, who came from Harlem Hospital. She was an African-American woman trained as a nurse from Ohio, couldn't get a job out there because of her color, and came and worked in Harlem Hospital. And she came over, and she's an example of the dozens of women that came over, white and other, to help, you know, take care of the wounded and so on. And it was a very exciting moment because 1936, this was the first Nazi-sponsored invasion of Europe. And people have speculated ever since that if Hitler had been stopped there, what, you know, maybe World War II could have been turned around, thwarted or something. We'll never know. Yeah.
Right.
But these men and women really didn't get any cooperation from their governments. England, France, the United States, the democracies refused to help the Spanish Republic. Matter of fact, they said a bit.
Dr. Cash, I need to interrupt, but why was that the case back then?
Well, first of all, there was a lot of isolationist sentiment in the United States at the time. You know, we had entered World War One and it had been a complete mess. All it did was lead to dictatorships and more conflict. But the other thing was there was a lot of feeling on the part of certain reactionary elements here in the United States that Hitler might be turned to fight against the Soviet Union and communism, so maybe they should be some support for Hitler. And actually, Hitler was supported in kind of offhand and secret ways by France, which closed its borders to any people wanting to get in and help the Republic, any of these volunteers. The Italian U-boats sunk any ships going to help the Republic in the Mediterranean. And the United States stamped all passports not valid for Spain so that nobody could get in legally to help Spain. So all of these volunteers, for example, that came from the United States had to travel as if they were going to France. And once in France, they behaved like they were tourists with suitcases. And then they had to sneak over the Pyrenees Mountains at night to get into Spain and help the Republicans and get some training. You follow me so far?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, if people are interested, let me give out, if people are interested in ordering the audio book, The Lincoln Brigade, this is where they can get it. It's online at www.fightingfascism.com. www.fightingfascism, one word, .com. Well, let me go on with some more. Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to ask now. That's out now. It's called The Lincoln Brigade Book. Is that it?
It's
and
just
it's
called
an audio
The
book?
Lincoln Brigade. Yeah, this was
the Lincoln
produced.
Brigade.
Yeah, it was. You'd be going to the website called Leslie Gist of Freedom. This is a woman who runs a blog program I've been on for a number of years out of New Jersey, and she wanted to produce it. And may I read the blurb now that they're using as a promotional piece that explains
it? Go right ahead.
Okay. The Lincoln Brigade audiobook. In 2016, when one presidential candidate has revived fascism's many appeals to hate, the Lincoln Brigade story offers vital lessons. In 1936, General Francisco Franco's fascist armies marched on Madrid, Spain, supported by planes and troops from Hitler's Germany and Mussolini's Italy. This was fascism's first invasion of Europe, and the U.S., England, and France did nothing. Then 35,000 men and women from 53 countries who hated war and fascism formed international brigades. Their volunteer effort to, quote, stop fascism at the gates of Madrid, end quote. The 2,800 American volunteers of the Lincoln Brigade were white and black men and women, farmer and professor, student and unemployed. An early Lincoln commander was Oliver Law, a black Texan, and the brigade was racially integrated. Before 1936, these Lincolns had been active in support of racial equality, trade unions, aid for the poor, and unemployment insurance and Social Security. Surviving Lincoln Brigade veterans returned from Spain to fight again against fascism in World War II. And then they fought against McCarthyism and U.S. interventions abroad. Their energy and optimism, valor and daring shaped the American protest tradition.
Okay. Now listen, when has this ever been out before? It's the Lincoln Brigade book, and it's an audio book.
Yes.
It's never been,
I published it as a book many years ago in 1989, and I brought out subsequent editions, revising it and updating it and increasing it in size. It is available. I guess it can be purchased, I guess, at Amazon. And by the way, if the people want more information about it or about it in my other books, my website is williamlkatz.com. They can read a lot of essays I wrote about my books and from my books for free.
Yes. And your last name is spelled, just let me give that out to
K-A-T-Z.
K-A-T-Z. K-A-T-Z. And Tom Z. Right?
Yes.
Okay, now you have a whole list of books here, and it's very exciting to read this whole list of about how many books, 40 or 50 books? And they are
40 books, yes.
40 books. And they're also absolutely fascinating reading, especially, you know, about the black soldiers, about the slavery period, and about a whole host of other things. And we've had you very on so many times before.
Book
with Black Cowboys, and you're doing another book on, what is that you were telling me about a little while ago? The one that you are doing another book on?
I didn't remember that conversation.
Yeah.
We talked about doing a radio broadcast on Black Indians, as we've done in the past.
Right. Okay, So what's the status of the Black Indians? Is it something new that you're adding to that book, or what?
To which? The Black Indians?
Black Indians, yeah.
Well, this is a revised edition I did a few years ago. And this year, it's getting a lot of publicity for several reasons. First, it's its 30th anniversary in print.
Wow.
And secondly, it's taken on a new meaning and importance because of the fight at Standing Rock by the water protectors to defend the land against the Dakota Pipeline. Many people don't know it, but Black Lives Matter people showed up in large numbers in support of the Native Americans and the others there, and recently a group of veterans of all different races went there to help protect the Native Americans from the assaults that were being waged by the local sheriff and the law enforcement people, in which one woman even was hit with a canister and seems to has only a 5% chance of retaining her vision in one eye.
Wow.
So this is, this just came out yesterday. And I just, 2 weeks ago, I was invited down to North Charleston, South Carolina, to give my PowerPoint presentation on Black Indians by the Wassamasoor Native Nation down there, because they're engaged in some kind of a legal struggle with the state of South Carolina about their status and their rights and their land. And I spoke to her, and they not only invited me down to give my PowerPoint presentation on the whole story of the development of Black Indians, but they got copies of my book from the publisher and gave a copy to everybody who walked into the meeting. So, as I said, a lot is going on that subject, and I'll be happy to come back with you, Kay, and Eric and Wayne another time to discuss that.
Right. I just had, Dr. Katz, I just had one question. You know, it's interesting, as you discussed the chronology associated with the Lincoln Brigade, I'm trying to jog my memory now. When did the American forces first become integrated? I knew it was in World War II, but it wasn't as early as...
Korean War.
It was the Korean War. Okay. Wow.
It was during the Korean War.
Right. Right.
Although there were some efforts made right toward the end of World War One, I know, because I went into the U.S. Navy, and I was trained at the Sampson Naval Training Base in the summer of 1945. And within we were not integrated. We were all white. And about 2 weeks later, a buddy of mine also went into the Navy, and his barracks had black people as well as white in it. So they were beginning to test the waters at the very end of World War II.
That's what I thought. I used to hear that from my dad, and who just recently passed. I guess there was still a lot of resentment and bitterness about how they would divide, the ranks and all that. Even though, when we look back now, this is why your work is so important, because, when I look at what goes on with this country, and you mentioned earlier the connection with the recent election. I was just wondering, was that really the evidence for you writing this book, or was it just a correlation of the events that have occurred in the last 8 years with the Obama administration?
No, this book was written before the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And however, bringing this book out as an audio book was the idea of Leslie Gist, of the Gist of Freedom radio station. She connected it. And that's why I read you that promotional piece that they put out to explain it.
Now I understand the correlation.
Okay.
I tuned in late. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill,
but it is fascinating work.
It is. Actually, looking at all the titles of the book that Bill has written, we used to talk to him on LIB, remember, Wayne? And Bill, you have such information. I don't know where it all comes from. You must be studying all the time and writing all the time. because there's so much to learn from you. As a matter of fact, the last time we talked on the air, I was ignorant about a group of people from, I think it was from somewhere in South America, and I had never even heard of before, so that was absolutely fascinating to me. So there's always something new when we talk to Bill Katz.
Right.
Well, let
me
just put it this way. There's a lot of history that we don't know or that was kept from us. And it's very sad, because it wasn't just that black kids lost out on it. They lost a lot. But white kids also lost. They lost the chance to learn how to respect the black kids as much as they respected their own ancestors.
Go ahead, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say there's really something to be said about that. I mean, it just throws back into our faces collectively, the problems that still exist in this country in spite of all the political advances that we've made. In fact, I guess there's no secret that what we've gone through recently in the last couple of months is to me almost a setback. The fact that the Central Intelligence Agency is now coming up with conclusive evidence, it seems, that they had an the Russian government had an impact, Soviet Union had an impact on the American election process, speaks volumes. There's a commonality, there's a common thread between what you've written, even though it predates what's going on now, but it just speaks a lot about our culture and what goes on in this country and its impact.
Yeah, no, we have to learn from our history, or as the old saying goes, if you don't learn, you're doomed to repeat it.
Repeat it, I think.
And we don't want to repeat some of that stuff that happened in the 1930s when hate was unleashed in Nazi Germany, and they even went so far as to try to invade whoever they wanted to invade.
That's why I feel that, you know, there's such a common thread there between, you know, during the course of the election last year and what happened back then, way back then. It's almost as if someone had taken a page out of Hitler's playbook and, well, Dr. Katz, I don't have to tell you about the Joseph Goebbels story. I mean, if you repeat something long and strong enough, people start to believe it. And I guess, you know, our president-elect was able to succeed in convincing at least a certain faction within the American voting populace to think that, you know, and I hate to say it, but I really believe there's a great deal of ignorance out there, and it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's
That's very true. That's very true. There's a large portion of our populace that is ignorant, and it's kind of the revenge of the Electoral College coming back to bite us. You know, and Donald, if I could just get in, Donald Trump's repeating the same thing over and over again. Those people wanted to hear what he was saying, so it wasn't
exactly
really that hard for them to believe it. And secondly, that makes me think about this whole issue about fake news. You know, people have been making up news, and we have gone so far as to have the potential nominee for the NSA retweeting fake news.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's come out that he shared classified material as well. So, I mean, history, Shakespeare said what's past is prologue, right? So we have to be really vigilant, like Mr. Katz said, to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself. And as you know, I was listening to the interview on our other piece of equipment, and Bill, just to notice back to what you were saying about, you know, it's not only good for white kids, black kids to know African-American history, which is American history, but it's also good for the white kids. You made a very good point. That's a point that my father was trying to make when he introduced the Amistad legislation, that black history would be compulsory and will be a part of everyday education.
You really can't separate it.
Immediate example that we're talking about in pop culture is this movie getting ready to come out called Hidden Figures, about the black women that were mathematicians that helped to figure out the mathematics to make it so that John Glenn could orbit the Earth, God rest his soul. And he was quoted as saying that if this particular black woman didn't do the mathematics, he wasn't going up, because he knew that she was basically a human computer, that she would get those words right. So it's interesting how timely what you were saying, Bill, in terms of the history not being taught, that everybody should know the history, because it's American history.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And
any answers, Dr. Katz? I mean, do you have any suggestions?
Oh, boy. I march in protest and do that, but I'm not one to suggest tactics or strategies. I'm more of a book person.
Well, let me see.
If I can just get back, it is the person that is the observer that you can get a lot of great information from, because the one who observes objectively is the one who's able to give you an objective opinion and a compilation of facts and things that hopefully could chart a course to move forward. You know, there's been so much rejection over the last couple of years of facts. And, you know, if they can sell to us that it's not necessary for a moderator of a presidential debate to be a fact checker, and that everybody, the populace believes that and agrees with that, then we're kind of in a bad state. So education is the key, and knowing the story is the key.
Yes. I think the lesson that the Lincoln Brigade book and just their general story brings us is these were men and women who here in the United States in the 1930s, when there was still segregation, even lynching, and other acts of discrimination, fought against the Jim Crow system, and they had some success. And by the way, their Lincoln Brigade was such a good model that during World War II, Adam Clayton Powell, who later became a congressman during, you know, World War II, suggested the United States government have a Lincoln Brigade type unit in there and was pushing for that. He saw the value of what the Lincoln Brigade, with its people mixed together, fighting together, you know, for justice, and, you know, all kinds of people, men and women, that that has a good psychological effect as well as a good way to face the enemy.
Interesting. And this was during the 1940s?
Yeah, this was in the 1940s when the Lincoln Brigade came back. And they had received, you know, quite some publicity because they were the first to go over, as Pablo Iglesias told President Obama, the first Americans to fight fascism. And it wasn't World War II. It was 5 years before World War II.
Before, exactly.
Wow, yeah. Listen, I have something to ask you, Bill Katz, Professor Katz. What books are more popular than the others? I mean, which of your books are people censoring in on more so than others? And
well, my Black Indians.
Black Indians
is kind of leading the pack at this point, and that's related to the, you know, prominence of finding out that there are so many Black Indians around. From Michelle Obama to Alice Walker to Oprah Winfrey to Beyonce,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, LL Cool J, and so on. You know, so that's leading the pack.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know about Michelle Obama. That's interesting.
I didn't either. But, you know,
relatives was liberated when Sherman's army marched through South Carolina heading north and came up to the North Carolina border. One of her Black Indian relatives was liberated at that moment.
Wow.
And by the way, in the Lincoln Brigade, let me just give that website again for those interested in getting an audiobook version. It's www.fightingfascism.com.
Okay.
And it'll be open to the public tomorrow, but I thought, Kay, you and your audience would like a shot at it.
Yeah, I'm glad, because the fact that, and it's an audio book, that is so important. So it's the Lincoln Brigade
I was told,
book, audio book.
The young generation swings toward audio books. I that was new to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Whatever happened to reading?
Listen, Wayne, you haven't
heard
that.
I know.
You haven't heard that either. Bill, let me just. I want you to tell me which of your books is still selling a lot. I know they all are. There's so many of them, and I've read several of them. What about Black Women of the Old West? Have people really, you know, how did that sell when it came out? Because I found that, you know, fascinating.
Well, you've really asked two questions. How did it sell when it came out, and what's happening to it now?
Or is it still selling?
Black Women of the Old West, yes, was very, very popular. I was actually interviewed twice on it on WLIB by Betty Shabazz, Dr. Betty Shabazz.
Uh-huh.
And I remember she even said, I've never seen a book like this. She was very thrilled. And had me back for a second time. But that book is like a lot of my others, has gone out of print.
Really?
Yeah, and even my New York book, Black Legacy, has gone out of print. So I'm kind of looking around for a publishing house that might be interested, because I've been told from phone calls and emails I've gotten from people that they would still love to get copies and use them in their classrooms and so on.
Yes. Yes, I've used it in mine and used it on the air several times, especially about Black Indians. But also, let me give a list of some of your books. Then, Black Women of the Old West, fascinating book, everybody. You should absolutely have it. And then there is Exploration of the War of 1812. I forget, let me say 1812, 14, no. Yeah, 18, is it of 1812?
Yes.
Is it an exploration?
Well, that's a series
of
books. You're reading a series of books that were under my 8-volume History of Multicultural America. They're no longer available. They sold very nicely into schools, I think, for about a dozen years.
What about the Westward movement? Wounded Knee.
The Black West is also out of print. Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
That could find a new home at this point, yes.
Yeah, but that's people...
No, the only ones that are in print now are the Black Indians and the Lincoln Brigade and a book I did called The Cruel Years about how America was at the turn of the last century. And and it's told by people who actually lived at the time, telling about their experiences.
What about the Invisible Empire, the Ku Klux Klan, since that's in the
Interesting you ask. That's a book I did on the Ku Klux Klan, and I am now preparing, at this moment, a new version of it. I'm writing a new introduction to it based on this election that we just had and the things that have happened, because I think we all know the Ku Klux Klan emerged again and supported Donald Trump, and David Duke, the Klan leader, was very thrilled. He said he tweeted just minutes after Trump announced he was victorious that it was like the happiest day of his life. Much in the news, and Africa World Press is going to bring that out with my new introduction as soon as I can finish writing it.
All right. Please let us know so we can have you on talking about it.
Oh, sure.
Again. What about Black Indians?
I'd be happy to
what
be on
Indians?
With you again. And I don't want to take any more of your time, but, I can come back if you want me.
No, I want you to stay here. Right, Wayne?
This is such a, history lesson right here.
I have a whole – well, listen, I taught history. English and history majors, so I'm fascinated with this. Now, Black Indians, a hidden heritage. Touch on that for about 2 minutes, okay? Because I have a whole lot of other things I want to ask you about these books.
Okay.
Is that out still? Can you get that? Black
get
Indians,
what?
A hidden? Black Indians.
Yeah, Black Indians, that's
heritage?
The one that's out.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that can be ordered,
now,
yes.
Okay. Minority.
And that's the revised, if you order it, I just have to tell you listeners, if they go online, be careful that you order the 2012 revised edition. It's about a third larger than the other. I expanded it. I updated it. It has more information, even more pictures in it, and so on. Don't get the previous edition that first came out back in 1986, 30 years ago.
Okay, okay. I was hoping that would happen because that's a fascinating book. Let me see, what was the other one I wanted to ask about? Black Americans we have, but what about that? Is that going to be redone, or how's that selling?
No, as I said, the only books that are available now are three books. The Lincoln Brigade, which is just coming out in audiobook also, Black Indians, A Hidden Heritage, and The Cruel Years, which is about the period at the turn of the century and what was happening in the lives of ordinary people.
Okay.
I don't remember. I mean, you had written that a while back, The Cruel Years. Is that the way?
Cruel, yes.
C-O-O-L.
C-R-U-E-L.
U-E-L.
Cruel.
Okay, right, cruel. Okay, I was just going to say. I mean, that was a very fascinating period and a turning point in American culture and society.
Yes.
It was, and that's a book that I'm not really familiar with. I know about the others that were mentioned, and, of course, I'd like to go out and get a copy of the Lincoln Brigade.
Yeah.
But, I was just curious what was going on during that period that you came up with that title, Doctor.
Well, that's a very good question. I was always interested in that period because it's sometimes referred to as the gay 90s. And believe me, it was anything but gay for the average person. It was very happy for the very rich, just as it is today. but the working people were really beaten down. People of color faced terrible kinds of discrimination and violence and jail time and poor schools and slums and so on. And women were oppressed. They could not vote. They couldn't even own property unless their husbands were willing to let them do it. So, it was really, I wanted to show what the time was really like. And I wrote an introduction, and the famous historian Howard Zinn wrote a preface because he really liked the book. And it really is a kind of a grim story. So I let it be told by, I think it was about 22 average people who wrote kind of short biographical essays that I stumbled on and put in there so that students and others could read and see what people who actually lived at that time said about their lives, how they lived it, and how they managed things.
Yeah. Well, Bill, listen, this is what I want to tell people, too. Now, I'm looking at this big, fat book, a heavy book, that I carry around because I can always find anything I want about books and about, you know, about early history and about history of the United States. And that eyewitness, and it's a living documentary of African-American contributions to American history. And I'm going to, you know, request that everybody get this book. It is a fat book, a heavy book, but Bill Katz, William Lorenz Katz, it's so much information in there. If you are a teacher, and I'm a past teacher, in fact, I'm still teaching, you know, students, some students, and it's an eyewitness, a living documentary of African-American contributions to American history. And it is absolutely fascinating. There's so many things, you know, that you have covered in this book. Carrying it is the only problem because it's heavy. It's a lot of information. But Bill, it's fantastic. And I want to get the other books that I haven't had. I don't know if they're as fat as this one, but it's okay. You know, it's
no, they're not.
History. You know, and of course, the Indian Americans, I need more history about that. So thank you for being on.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always a delight with you.
Next time we'll talk about
I echo that too, Dr. Katz. It's always a pleasure having you here. I know we go back many years.
Good talking to you too, Wayne.
Thank you. We
Thank you, Dr. Katz.
Get together physically the next time, all of us.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, you keep on with your station. And great being on. Oh, let me give that website again in case people want to order the audio book. www.fightingfascism.com. And thank you for having me on.
Okay.
And we'll all be talking soon.
Right. Thank
you
very much. Yes.
Good night.
Yes. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So what we wanted to talk about in the remaining minutes, 16 minutes, I want to thank once again William Lorenz Katz for sharing this new book scoop with us, right, Mom?
Yeah.
Wayne, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the current news situation. We have the president-elect with his transitioning team, meeting with people and everything. And he met with your boy, Wayne. He met with your boy, Jim Brown. Went and met with Donald Trump. Now, Ray Lewis.
This is true.
Ray Lewis was with
him. I mean, wait a minute. Are you talking about the retired football player Jim Brown?
I'm talking about Jim Brown, the one and only Jim Brown.
Yeah, right.
Today met with Donald Trump. And I'm just looking at some of the headings when you type in Jim Brown and Trump on Google. And Jim Brown.
I only thought Kanye West was worthy of that. I didn't think Brown would be that.
Jim was there with Ray Lewis. They were talking about the black community issues. I don't know Ray to be one to be active in the community, but I'm glad that he is. I would assume that he probably is not as astute in matters of the black community and the historical reference of it as Jim is. But to me personally, it's a disappointment. I don't mind, you know, people trying to come together with Trump and seeing what they could work with him. But, you know, I just can't, I don't know if the old Jim Brown would be smacking the new Jim Brown, the young Jim Brown will be smacking the old Jim Brown, because I just can't see the old, that bad dude that was in the movies really, you know, wanting to talk to a guy that was had such a nasty thing to say about the first black president and other people of color, and was just, you know, so condescending. And everybody that knows that the challenging and the questioning of Barack Obama's birth as an American citizen harkens back to what many of us have experienced in America is when people tell us to go back to Africa. You know, I spoke about this once before, but, you know, if we do our history, many of us that are so-called African-Americans or Caribbean-Americans or whatever, particularly African-Americans, if we do our history, and those of us that are about my age and have might have a mother about my mom's age and grandmother who passed away during the at the age that she passed away, we can probably trace our history back at least a good 300 years in this country. And when I was a kid, we'd hear those things. And when I was ill-prepared or was ignorant to the history that my people had in this country, that would be something that could get me down. And when you're ignorant to the history and you don't know that you're descendants of what you're descendants of, those type of idiotic statements and the people who make them can kind of knock you down a few pegs until you learn the truth. And that's why they come at you the way they do, because they don't want
you
to
know the truth.
I happen
to agree with you, Eric. I mean, and, this harkens back to what Dr. Katz said just a moment ago, that if you don't learn, you know, from your previous mistakes, you're bound to repeat it over and over again. And, yeah, I understand there's a need for an open dialogue, you know, and I just happened to Google what you were talking about, and there's a quote here, "He's got my admiration," from Brown.
Right.
Quote. I'm just astounded, you know. Here's somebody, I can't speak of your childhood, but, you know, when I was a young man, I followed the Browns, you know, I followed Jim, followed his acting career, you know, and I'm not saying that I agree with everything that he did, but, you know, the only thing I can think of is that maybe he's having some problems with his memory and his brain now that he's in those twilight years, and I don't know. I mean, it just amazes me because, again, this man was so insulting, so divisive, and again, just the fact that he sat in that Oval Office with Obama right after the election occurred, and you could just see, if you read his facial gesticulations, that this guy had a problem and realized that he was over his head when he walked. It was so visible. That, you know, and the thing is that I don't know if he ever brought himself to the point of apologizing in person for the campaign that he did for the last, you know, what, 5 years, or ever since he was, actually since the time he was elected as president the first time, you know, he's been on this campaign and has not said anything publicly about it.
Right. You know, to me, and the birth issue, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe you guys have a different recollection, and maybe there is actually, maybe I might be factually incorrect, but it seemed as though the birth movement was kind of coming, was waning a little bit, kind of dying down. Nobody was giving it that much credence when Donald Trump decided to put his foot in it and to stir it up really to take it to the next level. If I remember correctly, I think it was kind of waning a little bit. And people were like, oh, come on, come on. And then Trump jumps in. I'm going to hire people to go to Hawaii and this and that. And he kind of revived it. And it was interesting, as I said last week and probably the week before, because it's something that he didn't have to do. Now, I'm wondering why he chose that. And I keep talking about that because that is a way that people would try to denigrate black people.
You wanted to buy
and say, and
you.
Say, go back to Africa. That's the way that people said it. So when you talk to the first black president and you ask him for his birth certificate, it harkens back to that thing that people would say, go back to Africa,
exactly.
Knowing good and damn well that they were just as much immigrants as we were, actually less, because black people made it to the Americas first. But
exactly.
That's something that might make some heads explode if I talk to that they were here before Columbus, you know. But anyway, you know.
Professor Van Sertimer said they came before America.
Right.
And he was talking about, you know, blacks, Africans.
Before Columbus, you're talking about the book, they came before
Columbus.
Right.
And so,
Ivan Van Soderman.
Right. So, to me, when we fast forward all this time, that someone like the statue of Jim Brown, you know, I'm not mad at these black people who, you know, they want to be around a billionaire, they want to be around a rich guy, which I think is really Omarosa's former
agenda,
apprentice contestant, and some of these preachers and semi-preachers and ex. Anyway, I'm not going to say, because, you know, he's with the one that looks like a pimp to me on TV. But, you know, that's you know, they want to be around the money and be around that flash. You know, we expect it from someone like Kanye. That young man's lost, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think
he does
right.
More damage than a little bit, you know, even his association with the Kardashians, you know, and they're a strange bunch to begin with. But
to me, that's neither here nor there. Who he decides to love, I mean, there is a point in what you're saying. But I mean, that's his personal relationship with his choice. I'm just talking about the other choices that seem to reflect as if he is some type of spokesman, or was, let's face it, he is some sort of image model to his demographic, his peer group. And even when he said at one of his concerts, I would have voted for Trump if I had voted, and a lot of people booed and walked out. So it's good to know that peer group, at least that age, that demographic, has got, a lot of them got their heads on straight a little bit. But, you know, this whole kind of sucking up to this guy after he was ran such a divisive campaign and such nasty things about everybody. Everybody's like, that's okay. You know, he lied. The gentleman was lying. He lies now. Yeah, the intelligence report that came out that said Russia had something to do with affecting the United States election, he came out firing. He fired off of Twitter talking about how they were messed up. So everybody that disagrees with this is what we can expect the next 4 years. Everybody that disagrees with the president is going to expect someone, you know, some kind of pushback or some type of, he's got to get back at you like he did about the union guy who said, yeah, you made it up. There was a difference of 300 jobs. You rounded up to 1,107. Okay.
Exactly. Right.
You have to start firing off at this union guy who's telling you what it really is. Because if we do this, then people are going to find out that Donald Trump has lied time and time again, over and over again. He's got a conflict of interest everywhere with his kids sitting in on meetings with all of these people. Today, all of the tech giants there had his kids sitting in on the meeting. So, you know, he's blurring all the lines, doing all the questionable things, and I heard he wants to still be executive producer of The Apprentice, the boot. So,
that really boggles the imagination. I mean, like, as if being president is not enough to keep you preoccupied, that you'd still want to go back and deal with reality TV. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, I don't know. I've lived long enough, Eric, to say that at this point, reality.
Trump is not facing reality. That's why he wants to go back to reality.
But he's amusing. We're in trouble. I mean, we are really, really in trouble. Unless the Republican Party somehow, you know, if they especially the ones within the party that at least have some common sense, will sit down and try to you know, give him some on-the-job training real quick. And I'm really concerned about Pence. You know, I really don't – I'm really concerned what the agenda is with him other than trying to be the candidate for the party in 2020 or what have you, because I only see Trump in there one term, if anything. And that's if he's not blown off or impeached before then. And I shouldn't say – I'm not advocating violence here. But it's just, you know, what he did with the Chinese and everyone else he's offending, anything is possible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. This seems like one big comedy kind of Three Stooges, episode of the Three Stooges with this guy. I mean, everything you know, he talked about, Wall Street this, they messed up this, and he's got a whole bunch of Wall Street guys in there, Solomon Brothers guys. Systematically. He's got a guy who was suing the EPA that's head of the EPA, the guy who wants to dismantle it. He puts that guy in charge. He puts a guy who couldn't name the Energy Commission in charge of the Energy Commission, and
Thank
he put
you.
The brother who said he wasn't qualified to hold any position, the head of department, in charge of a department. I mean, this,
right.
this is just you hear this stuff. It's like, what in the heck is going on?
It's frightening.
Well,
the only thing is that if there's any relevance to what he's doing, that it just exposes that the process really has not been working for some time, you know. And I mean, just the way our government operates, because he said things during the course of the campaign that just seemingly shows some level of truth now with regard to hacking on the part of the Soviet Union, you know.
Right.
Everything that he, and even if he had lost, he had said he was going to be the first to come out and say, well, the process is rigged, it's this, that, and the other. Now, who did more rigging than he did to just get to where he is? And if the Electoral College has any kind of weight, you know, any kind of substance about it, you know, there would be more than maybe three or four people who sit on the college and would actually say something about what has happened thus far, the kind of people that he's selecting, you know, to hold these cabinet posts and things of that nature. I mean, it just saddens me to see what goes on. And, you know, Kay and I, we go way back covering him, you know, the Central Park jogger case, you know, all the incidents that have occurred in this town with regard to racial polarization and things like that. He's always had his fingers stuck in the middle of it somehow, even if he had to come out with an editorial to make it look like he was politically conscientious about what was happening here. You know, his history speaks for itself, and it just saddens me that he was able to get this far.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we're running out of time, but it's been a good interview. But I want to leave this this message with the teachers listening, the social studies and history teacher. I would suggest that you do get Bill Katz, William Loren Katz, author and historian, Eyewitness, a living documentary of the African-American contribution to American history. It is complete, and it's certainly something that you can use for your students, and you're going to find out information in this book that you won't be able to find elsewhere. Another thing, Lincoln Brigade book, audio book, that Professor Katz was talking about. So make sure that you get that under your belt also, because it's going to be valuable. So I know we're going to be tying up very soon, but what's new in the 2 seconds that we have? And you want to say something, Eric, or you, Wayne?
You wrapped up the show.
Yeah.
You wanted to wrap up the show.
That's it.
I wanted to wrap up the show.
You said it all.
Anyway,
I'm looking at the time.
Well,
we have more time than that.
Yeah, anyway. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time to go. Thank everybody for listening. 8 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday. You can listen to the show live, 8 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/. I heard it's not /. I heard it's /, K. Thompson Live. Or you can listen to the show archive, where you can listen to one episode as many times as you like. Or you can listen to a whole bunch of episodes. She's got something else to say, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I want to say hello to Sonny Sutherland. Wayne, you know Sonny. We've been talking to him lately, and pretty soon we're going to have an exciting announcement. So thank you all for listening. Wayne, you want to tie this up or what?
I just want to say it's an honor and a pleasure as usual. I don't know. I don't have a clock in front of me, so if the time runs out, peace. See you next week. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. I am what's known as the son, the co-host, too. My name is Eric Payne. I want to thank everybody for calling in and listening in to the K. Thompson Live Show. Listen again next Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye-bye.